Over in Las Vegas, we had an amazing launch of the NRL, and to set the stage, a song that Ken Laban has danced to most of his adult life. Here he is. Here's Elvis the Pelvis.
They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So viva Las Vegas, viva Las Vegas.
So there it is, Kenny. Hey, that was some promotion, wasn't it, yesterday? Gee, it had all the bells and whistles, and it was like NRL supplanted in the Nevada desert. Pretty amazing. Yesterday, I suppose we've got to take our hat off to Vlandis for coordinating. That helped again that Lachlan Murdoch, I guess, is the number one fan too for the Brisbane Broncos. But all in all, an amazing launch, and I guess we'd better book our tickets to go there one year. Ken Laban, tēnā koe, tōkana.
Kia ora, Dale. Yes, well, it's another feather in the cap for Peter Vlandis' leadership. Of course, he really came to the fore during COVID when he was the first professional sporting competition to get underway, when essentially the world of sport and the world during COVID came to a standstill. He was still able to manufacture a compromise plan, which allowed the NRL to continue in, of course, in stadiums without fans, and protected the integrity of the broadcast rights contract, which was his driving force behind doing that at a time when it was very, very challenging for NRL clubs and the NRL competition itself. And they tell me that he has a five-year plan the NRL and the American market, and one of the foundation agendas for him is to try to get 1.5% of the betting market in America. So those games were shown on Fox Sport 1 with 100 million viewers, 100 million subscribers anyway, which is just under a third of the population in the United States of America. 41,000 at the game. Wonderful work done in the lead up, and then of course, as you've alluded to, Dale, the day itself and the promotion itself and the quality of the games and the commentary and the presentation, etc., was fantastic. And you know, those images of Tom Brady with Reese Walsh and Shaquille O'Neal, and did I see Rafael Nadal and a couple of other high-profile tennis players involved in the promotion as well, Andre Agassi too. So they certainly put some time and effort. Then there also wasn't clear from the television coverage. I understand there was a tremendous entertainment spectacle that was put on before the game as well to attract the crowd. So overall, I would think it would be hard to not to view it anything other than a stunning success, and particularly in the context of Peter Vlandis' 5-year plan and vision. And he believes that if they are able to secure a very small percentage of the betting market in America, that it will secure the future of the NRL going forward. So I along with everybody else thought it was fantastic for the game in terms of the spectacle, but more importantly, it was a very, very valuable step in terms of securing the game's future with new revenue streams being opened up in America.
Yeah, interesting. The only downside here is an accusation by Ezra Mam that he had been called a monkey by Spencer Lenier, which was strange to get that sort of racial accusation anyway. Normally it would be, a white guy having a go or vice versa. But to have two men of colour involved here is disappointing. Of course, Mam is from Torres Strait Island, and I think he's a Kukuyalanji. But it's a racist slur, and obviously there's going to be more said about that. Disappointing, but what do you make of Ezra's willingness to raise the issue with the referee?
Well, you know, you and I have been sledged many times in our life, Dale. You know, we've both been, you know, we both played a lot of sport when the world was a lot more dominated by white people than it is today. There's almost, had it been a white player that have accused them of being a monkey, he would have been hung, drawn and quartered on the front page of every major newspaper in Australia. But there's little or no reaction to Spencer. Linio, I think it's a comment that was made in the heat of the moment. If there's going to be an inquiry, Linio will say that it was a joke, that he misinterpreted it, and that obviously, looking at the colour of myself, I'm not racist, so I can't be racist. So I see the whole thing as a bit of a dribble, and we'll peter out. And I just don't know that, you know, in the heat of the moment, when, you know, players have been basically sledged on every tackle, to take one remark out of context and, you know, put it out on a press release that there's going to be an official inquiry, when I'm sure there would be players who would have been called far worse than that throughout the course of the game. But for whatever reason, Ezra Mann decided to make his complaint official and to make it public. And of course, it was all there for the television cameras to see. And now, as you quite rightly point out, we now have an issue to deal with, or, you know, and what a lot of people would view as an indictment of the game. So, for all his happiness, Peter Valandis will be very, very upset that the quality of the game and the quality of the promotion has now been compromised because, you know, a couple of immature blokes were yapping at each other on the football field.
Yeah, let's hope they get to the bottom of that. I mean, either way, Ezra Mam has a right to complain, irrespective of, you know, the cultural background of those who put the sledge together. There'll be more of it, no doubt. Okay, Doug, success there. Obviously, the Warriors, too, get their first hit out against Cronulla. I'm sure there'll be the sold-out signs, too, such as the enthusiasm for... what's happening in the NRL for our local team. That's coming up on Friday. Should be a beauty. Let's have a look at Super Rugby, if you'd be so kind. Cast your eyes across that. I saw the Drua battling to the last moments. Couldn't quite get there against Moana Pacifica. Hurricanes beat the Reds. The Crusaders go down, surprisingly, to the Waratahs. Chiefs too good for the Brumbies. And the Blues got up across the Highlanders, which is encouraging. Your thoughts on Super Rugby round 2 of 15?
Yeah, well, of course, they had their equivalent of the Magic Round in Melbourne, with all six games, two on Friday, two on Saturday, and two yesterday. And by comparison to what we've seen in Las Vegas on the weekend and what we've previously seen with the rugby league, with the NRL Magic Round in Brisbane, it is a very, very poor cousin, the rugby equivalent. And I refer specifically to the overall promotion and staging and organisation of it. And that's really reflected in the very, very poor attendance at the game, considering all six. And I don't know what to make of that. What that says about what interest there is, firstly, in the concept of having all six teams and all 12 teams in Melbourne. And I don't know how they would justify the expense. And I'm sure that the Melbourne City, and we all know that Melbourne and the state of Victoria are, you know, regarded as one of the most innovative and creative sporting communities in the world, and no doubt they would have paid a fee to Super Rugby to secure those games, and their hope obviously would have been big crowds, hotel and restaurant, GDP spending, travel into the area, and that would be their justification for organising that. I know that from an NRL perspective and from a Brisbane local regional economy perspective, of the Magic Round, it's an absolute windfall for businesses, for hotels, bars, and restaurants. But it's hard to see the same level of enthusiasm in the local Melbourne economy, given the very, very poor attendance. So what that, you know, what that says in the context also of declining crowds, and as you pointed out, some of the games were terrific. Hurricanes game was full of controversy, emotion, and drama. It was the 100th game for Geordie Barrett, but he ends up getting sent off in that game, and then went to extra time, and a sensational try scored in extra time for the Hurricanes to secure the win. Now they go 2-2, and then at the other end of the scale, the team that's won 7 consecutive titles now finds itself in the bottom third of the competition, having no wins from 2 starts with some very big games to come still. And they just look a shadow of what they were with Sam Whitelock in the team last year, and obviously Richie Moonga running the cutter at first 5-8 for them. So, you know, they are not the same. They've got a lot of young players out there, and I guess if they're no wins from 2 starts, some of those players that are in key positions might not be there. But this could be a tough year for the Crusaders. But having said that, they've started 0-2 before and gone on to win the competition. And they have a lot of connections around the world, the Crusaders organisation. So I wouldn't be surprised if the odd classy player turns up in the next few weeks and they find a way to get their campaign for 2024 back on track.
Tēnā koe, as an aside, two of the top guns yesterday, the Roosters lineup won't be there next year. Of course, everyone loves Joey Manu. We love his abilities, and particularly his offloads down that right edge as well, which he's mastered at training and utilises regularly throughout the game. And then Suali, of course, is going to Aussie rugby. Looks like Joey's signed with a French rugby club. A couple of stars of the Roosters lineup not going to be there next year, but I guess this is just the reality for those in a life of professional sport, Ken.
That's right, and it also, you know, from an athletic point of view, there's only a limited window for them, and both even Joseph Suali in the game, not very long, but what a contribution he's made. What a player he is, and that offload from Manu on the right edge in Las Vegas yesterday just underlines what a fabulous athlete and player that he is. And I guess when you've done as much as he has done in the game, the opportunity to, you know, explore a different part of the world and test yourself in a different game and get very well paid for it. I think that's a wonderful opportunity from Sonny Bill Williams. You know, has done that, made that similar trip as well, and was able to do it successfully, and you know, come and go comfortably in both codes, and enjoy tremendous success both at an NRL and international level in rugby union and rugby league. And rugby union, of course, he won a couple of World Cups. So. Joey Manu, you know, what does that mean for world rugby? Does that mean anything for All Black rugby? The fact that he's going to be this time next year to be in rugby union. Or what does that mean for Wallabies rugby? It'd be interesting to see how innovative the New Zealand Rugby Union can be and how they handle these situations. Because in my view, Joey Manu is another in terms of skill set, size, power, you know, his agility and ability to offload the ball, all of those things. Is there a spot for him in the next World Cup playing for the All Blacks? Does him and Riku Ioane play together, or does Joey Manu go to the wing, or does he go to fullback perhaps? Who knows? But that will be interesting debates that we will have 12 months from now, won't they?
Very much so. It depends how the new coach relates to his abilities in the black jersey. We'll have to wait and see. He's off to France, Joey Manu. Look, last time we spoke, Ken, we were celebrating the success of our young wahine had gone to Australia, but I think the last game was maybe midweek. We spoke last Monday. Tremendous pride with their results from the first 2 headouts. How did that third game go?
It's very, very good. 64-0 Young Wahine one. So we had, thank you for asking, Dao Nahoe Whaa Wanui Amata, Marae under 18 Kōtiro team, 3 games in Australia, including wins against Marsden State High and the national champion team, Maple Park, which they beat 48-0, a scoreline we're still coming to grips with, and then a comfortable win before we came home last Wednesday. So some outstanding wahine that we're going to be talking about in rugby union and in rugby league in the years to come came out of that tour. It was very successful.
Tēnākui, Ken. Congratulations and big ups to our young wahine who love Wainui Amata. You must have been tremendously proud. Thanks for sharing some kōrero about rugby league and, of course, down home sporting matters too. Ken Laban with us on Monday mornings. Thank you, Tuakana.